State Representative David Dill, good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing well. Say, listen, redistricting seems not to have affected you too much other than the name change. We're now 3A instead of 6A, right?
Well, it did have a pretty good effect on me, actually.
It did? Okay, tell me about it.
Okay, so if you're on 61 and you hit the east edge of Two Harbors, you are now in Mary Murphy's district.
That's right. I forgot about
that. And then about one township, about 5, 6, 7 miles from the lakeshore north, she has that strip.
Mm-hmm.
There's a strip about 6, 7, 8 miles from the lake north and from the east side of Two Harbors all the way into her district, her previous district.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now that I still represent all of Lake County, except the city of Two Harbors. So I just got the Lake County, Two Harbors, and then carved out, and then the strip, Duluth Township, and those townships going Normanna, those ones right down along the shore.
Mm-hmm.
But then Coochin County was added to me, so now I have a whole nother county.
Oh, that's interesting. Have you been following things in Coochin County, or is this a new learning experience?
Well, no, actually... my wife is from Coochin County, International Falls.
Uh-huh.
Our families run a business there for 61 years in International Falls, and I got married there 35 years ago next week, and
wow.
Go to church there still in International Falls for the same church for the last 35 years. And during my younger days, I taught most of the people, or a lot of the people, to fly in the mid-70s when I was doing flight instruction up there. So, I'm pretty well connected there already. And then I have a house in Coochin County as well.
Well, that's good. Let's talk about what's going on in the legislature. First of all, let's talk about the constitutional amendment on voter ID. The House passed that earlier in the week, and the Senate, I think, takes it up tomorrow. So, good idea, bad idea?
Well, I voted against the voter ID constitutional amendment. Well, first off, I don't think that the Constitution is the place that ought to be. There's only one state. I think it's Mississippi that has amended their Constitution. And right away, I've gotten a lot of flack over this because, what's wrong with you? Don't you think that people need to show an ID? We show an ID when we go to the doctor and when we buy... all the different things you can imagine if you pick up a prescription and all of those things. And you can name off a small litany of things you have to show an ID, picture ID for. But you got to remember something. Those are privileges.
Mm-hmm.
You get an airline ticket when you walk up to get your airline ticket. That's a privilege. Voting is a right, and it's spelled out in the Constitution that it's a constitutional right to vote. And that's a difference. There's a difference between a privilege and a right.
Are you concerned about same-day registration? I know that the Secretary of State is.
Yeah.
How would that work under this amendment?
Well, no, that's another reason I voted against it, is because mail-in ballots and provisional ballots and same-day registration, there are no rules on this. Usually when a bill is passed, it tells all of those answers, all of the litany of questions that you just scratched the surface of.
Mm-hmm.
What this bill does, it leaves for future legislatures to decide how those things will be dealt with. And so there's really nothing. It says, as specified in law. It says that routinely in the bill. And so there's nothing to back it up. So that means that starting, next year, if this is passed and actually amended on the Constitution, we'll have to start working on all of these details. And I'm not going to vote for a bill that doesn't have any detail on it. I mean, legislators get criticized for voting on bills because we haven't read every page, every word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when there's no pages or words, how do you know what those things are going to mean?
Well, I don't know about the rest of your constituency, but here in Cook County, we vote by mail. And how do I prove that I'm a registered voter?
All good questions. If you needed a provisional, if you need to vote provisionally, where you had to go in and show your, if you lived in the West End, right out on the edge of the county,
mm-hmm.
out by the power plant, and you have to go to the county seat to get a provisional ballot, I mean, how far is that? That's got to be 50, 60 miles one way. That's 120. If you lived in Capitokoma up on northern St. Louis County and you had to go to Duluth, that's 300 miles round trip. I mean, that, there's a lot of things that we don't know the answers to. Now, maybe we figure that out, but I mean, but the number, one of the things that really drove me crazy on this amendment is it says very plainly in the question that will appear on the ballot, it says a government-issued photographic picture ID. Now, remember, when you amend the Constitution, that's just about forever. So that leaves no leeway for any technological advance. It says a picture photographic ID.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get to retina scans, or I mean iris scans or retina scans or fingerprints, there's no room, there's no latitude. And so I think that it could have been very, very, it could be very much, it could be a lot better. Now, I'm for having the people that are supposed to vote, vote. I mean, that's a critical part. But even in Texas and Arizona, where they've had huge immigration problems and people, you know, you've heard all about on the TV. Yeah. They don't have a constitutional amendment. They have laws. They have statutes that can have flexibility to change with the times.
Well, that's
that's, you can see why I'm very, I was troubled by the way the whole thing was presented. So I voted against it. Now, probably some people say, blah, blah. But the fact is, it was a bad bill the way it was written.
Okay, well, over in Wisconsin, they've passed a wolf hunting bill. I know you've had some input on that here in Minnesota, and their season would be both deer and wolf season at the same time, although the wolf season happens to extend beyond the deer season. I know you've been in favor of having both seasons run together here in Minnesota. Where do we stand on that wolf hunt bill so far?
Actually, at 8:15 this morning, we're going to be taking up the game and fish bill. And because I'm in the minority, that bill has kind of been taken. I authored the bill originally to have the wolf hunt, as you well know,
right,
way back in early January. Well, I'm in the minority now. The Republican caucus is the majority party. And, of course, they have kind of taken control of the bill. Well, they did take control of the bill. And this morning, the game and fish bill is probably going to pass out of the Environment Committee and then work its way on up through the rest of the way to the floor. I suspect that the wolf hunt bill will be in it. It'll probably start during the deer season sometime. I don't know about whether it starts on the first day or 10 days after the first day, and then I don't know the answer to that. That'll all play out here over the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, copper nickel mining has been in the news, obviously, lately, and for some time. Any action in this legislative session regarding that?
No. There's a couple of bills out there. None of them have gotten any traction, no hearings, nothing. In fact, you know, really the legislature, except that a bill goes forward, and I think that the people who are against the copper nickel mining want a bill to go forward to ban it in the state so that, you know, it can't even happen.
Mm-hmm.
That those bills have not, I don't even know if those bills have got a single hearing anywhere in these at the Senate or the
Isn't today or tomorrow the day that bills have to have gone through one hearing before they can proceed, or do we already go by that deadline?
No, it's tomorrow.
Okay.
And that's the reason the game and fish bill, that's the reason the bills, it's been very, very busy. In fact, we worked till 3 o'clock in the morning night before last on the House floor. That was the voter ID amendment. And we worked till 3, and then we were right back in at 8 the next morning, and we were there till 9 o'clock last night. So, you know, in the last 48 hours, we've really been pounding the pavement to get all these bills through. But remember, a deadline, that's kind of a first. I mean, a bill can become law in a matter of hours. And that loophole, we had that loophole in that sexual offender law that there was a sexual offender, predator type person that was going to be released under a loophole. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, that bill got introduced in the morning, and we passed it, and the governor signed it that night.
So
I mean, no hearings, no nothing.
Things can happen fast, I guess, can't they? Yeah.
It has. I've never seen that happen in my 10 years here, but it did happen.
Well, I understand the House bonding bill is drawing a little fire for being too little and too kind of out of balance. Where do you stand on that?
Well, the bonding bill, is a good thing for the state. It does critical infrastructure all across the state. Now, Cook County has got, in comparison to its size, Cook County is getting $3.6 million down at Lutzen for the intake pipe for the community,
right,
for the water. And that's firmly in the bonding bill. It's being supported by just about, I know few. I received one email from Cook County by someone who doesn't support it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing for the county, especially in terms of the environment nature of protection that it's providing, as well as the economic opportunity. Now, the size of the bonding bill, I think the Senate bill is 500 thereabouts million. This bill, in practicality, is about 250 in the House, and the governor's at about 750. So I can see a setup coming for a big negotiation and a $400 to $500 million bill with a bunch of more projects in it. But tell me I'm wrong when it doesn't happen. So,
okay, sir.
You know, who knows what happens around here from time to time.
Okay, I don't want to leave without having you talk about the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation bill that would open up transparency. You've been pretty lukewarm about that, at least in the press that I've read. And in as much as Tony Sertich is going to be here in Cook County, and I hope to talk to him next week, I'd like to have some input from you on what that bill means and whether we need it or not.
We need to be as transparent as absolutely possible in everything we do, no matter what it is. But the key thing is absolutely as transparent as possible without jeopardizing economic opportunity, and that's what this is about. And this comes from some of the things that happened and have happened around the Excelsior Energy Project and the fact that there are some people that are upset about that. I'm upset about it because we haven't been able to progress the project. I'm not upset because some of the documents weren't readily available, because they have been put available through different mechanisms over time. But take yourself and put yourself in an entrepreneur's shoes. Let's say someone in Cook County who is well-known, who has had some success in business, wants to apply for a business assistance loan. And we've granted those in Cook County many, many times. How would you feel if all of a sudden your personal finances were essentially just public knowledge? And that, think of yourself as having a proprietary type of thing, and suddenly it could be, if the right person wanted to go after it, be just public information. I don't want to put any barriers in front of people coming forward with good ideas for economic development when I think that we're already doing, when our public disclosure is already adequate and our mechanisms are in place, that when it does need to be thoroughly vetted or investigated, it can be done. I mean, we lost 20,500 citizens out of Senate District 3, 4, 5, and 6 since the year 2000. And that's the reason that I'm now being expanded to include Coochin County if I'm reelected. And so I don't want to put any barriers in front of people. And so to the extent that we might put barriers in front of them for economic development, I really am not very crazy about the bill.
Okay, we've been speaking with Representative David Dill, who represents Cook County and District 3A. And good luck with the new part of your district. I'm glad that you're familiar with it, as I'm sure the folks in Two Harbors aren't all that happy about that change. But we're glad to have you around, and we're glad to talk to you. And I hope to talk to you again as the session continues. This has been great information. Thanks for your time. And I think you have a meeting at 8:15, so we'll let you go.
I do. Thanks a lot. And I was in Cook County last weekend and saw lots of people, and the weather was beautiful, and I saw a fair amount of tourists already in town.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope this could be a good year, get some rain so we don't have all the forest fires again.
Well, thank you, Representative Dill. We'll talk to you soon.